Hey y'all, and welcome to Southern Fried Spooky, the podcast home of all things Southern Spooky, and this week, Hungry.
Ooh.
I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
And we'd like to invite you to the buffet table of our social media.
Yep.
Find us on Facebook, Patreon, or even email us.
Yep.
This week, we're taking a look at a fine gentleman named Levi Boone Helm.
Do you have to say the whole name?
No. That's it's the only time I will.
No. I'm not asking you. I mean, like, just back in the day, it's like, well, there he goes, old Levi Boone Helm.
I think probably not, unless he was in trouble, which he often was. So
Levi
maybe that's
Boone Helm, you get your ass back in here and do your chores!
To put this in context, he was born January 28th of 1828.
Okay.
Died in 1864. He was an American mountain man, Old West gunfighter, and serial killer known as the Kentucky Cannibal.
So the Kentucky Cannibal.
Yeah. He gained his nickname for his opportunistic and unrepentant proclivity for consuming human flesh. Usually in survival situations, but sometimes he seemed to just do it for funsies.
Yeah.
We've unveiled our entree, so let's dig in.
Wow. Well done.
Why, thank you. Helm was born in Lincoln County, Kentucky, into what was considered an honest, hardworking, and respected, therefore respectable, family.
Yeah.
He was clearly the black sheep covered in spikes and sharp teeth and stuff.
So I just wanted to stop you there for 1 second and let the people know that if they hear any kind of rumbling in the back, it's because there's a thunderstorm happening.
Yes, you've turned off everything you can turn off. You cannot control the thunder.
Yes. I'm not Zeus.
But it would be cool if it happened at a time that it underlined a particularly ominous fact.
Yeah.
They moved to Jackson Township, Monroe County in Missouri, or Missouri.
Missouri.
When he was still a very young boy, and he was brought up on that borderland between civilization and the wild frontier.
Sorry, you said borderland, and suddenly I'm envisioning, like, Pistwash Gully.
Well, different thing. You're such a nerd.
I am.
Helm delighted in demonstrating feats of strength and agility, you know, typical guy.
Yeah.
Such as throwing his Bowie knife on the ground, or into the ground, and retrieving it from a horse at full gallop. Circus skills, you know?
Wait, those are considered circus skills? Because I can stick a knife in the ground by throwing it and retrieve it while I'm on a horse. Or at least I used to be able to. My aged body may not allow me to do it now, but
I have never done any of those things, let alone even being on a horse. So I wouldn't know. It sounds pretty cool to me.
I have retrieved an arrow like that.
Well, they're longer, aren't they?
Yes.
Emerson Hough, an American historical novelist, described Helm as bad, and nothing in the world could ever have made him anything but bad. He was, by birth and breeding, which is a little strong for his family, I'm sure, low, coarse, cruel, animal-like, and utterly depraved. And for him, no name but ruffian can fitly apply.
Most unorthodox. This man is a ruffian.
I mean, that's a good word, but it doesn't sound very
Old West. I don't know why, but when I hear those words, I have to go into my J.P. Morgan, is what I call it, my J.P. Morgan voice. Most unorthodox!
One of those sort of barons of the day who had money and whatnot. He apparently, this episode, brought to you by Coke. Not by any sponsorship on their part, but because we like to drink it.
Indeed.
He apparently also had a strong contempt for authority figures. Have you ever done this? Helm, while on horseback, rebuffed a sheriff's attempt to arrest him by walking his horse up the stairs of the courthouse into the courtroom while the court was in session and proceeded to curse out the judge.
So what are you saying? That there was a Bronco chase?
Something like that.
Okay. So the reason I bring that up is today, most people might know, today is the 11th, I believe.
God, I hope so.
Yes, April 11th, 2024.
Tis.
Today, O.J. Simpson died.
Sad, that's what he's known for.
Bronco chase. I have to bring up the Bronco chase.
Which I remember watching while I was in college.
I watched it as well.
It was on all day because it was, you know, a long thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Different kind of Bronco chase. Thank you for bringing that up. You have a terrible sense of humor, and I love you. In 1851, however, Helm married 17-year-old Lucinda Browning in Monroe County, Missouri, fathered a daughter, Lucy. Wonder where she got that name.
Yeah.
He became known for his heavy drinking. I'm not sure that really makes him stand apart, but that's a thing he did. Riding his horse into the house, that would make any wife just lose her mind. And, well, beating his wife, probably because she got upset about the horse in the house. The domestic violence grew to such an extent that Lucinda petitioned for divorce.
Now I'm wondering if he, like, actually, like, rode the horse in the house, and then he's like, sit, and the horse sat, and he's like, he's joining us for dinner tonight.
But I did want to make a comment that, you know, in this time, and up until fairly recently in the grand scheme of things, domestic violence was not unusual.
It was also not spoke about.
No, it was sort of a, what happens in your house stays in your house.
Yeah.
And it just was not unusual, but asking for a divorce because of it was very rare.
A big thing. Especially, yeah. In the 1800s. Hell, in the 1950s, it was hard to get a divorce. So, in the 1850s...
Especially for something like that.
Yeah.
It usually would tell you, well, Mrs. So-and-so, you should behave more.
Yeah.
So, it kind of makes me wonder, like, what extent... What did he do that was so much worse than is, quote, typical... That she's like, I can't do this anymore.
Well, luckily, with the dying of the patriarchy, we are seeing more and more people come to life going, he's a freaking abuser.
Yeah.
Like, and, I mean, we're seeing more people step up and going, I'm tired of being abused.
Yeah, and, you know, as it should be in this day and age.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that back then, especially in the hard old West, it was not unheard of.
Mm-mm.
But again... Kind of makes me wonder, what extremes did he go to that he actually was divorced for this? And his own father paid for the court costs.
Wow. So yes. He was like, yeah, you need to divorce him.
Well, after that, inasmuch as he had bankrupted his father and ruined the family's reputation, Helm decided it was a great time to move to California in search of gold. He asked his cousin, I kid you not, this is his name, Littleberry Shoot, to accompany him.
His name is Littleberry? Oh, Littlebury. Okay.
Littlebury.
I thought it was B-E-R-R-Y. Littleberry. It's like,
Okay, that would be embarrassing. No, this is B-U-R-Y. Yeah. I don't know why. And his last name is Shoot, which is a great name.
S-H-O-O-T, yes.
For anyone in the Old West. And it just sounds backwards. I don't know. Anyway.
There was a lot of people named Shooter back then.
I'm not surprised.
Shooter and Hunter were, like, really common names back then.
Yeah. Well, Shoot initially agreed, but then eventually elected to stay home and back out of the trip. Helm was very understanding of his cousin's position and choice and showed his support by furiously stabbing him in the chest. And then he headed west alone.
Well, I would hope that after he stabbed him, he had made his point.
No doubt.
It's one of those things of, what do you mean you're not going to help me? Stab! Now you're going to help me! Like,
yeah.
What does that do?
He was venting his frustration and gave his cousin some venting, I guess.
Right.
However, Helm was pursued and captured by Littleberry's brother, who I assume is...
Bigberry.
Also a cousin.
Right.
And some friends, and convicted of murder. But his antics in captivity quickly landed him in a mental asylum. I've looked. I can't find out what it is that he did, what those antics were. Apparently they were not recorded, or at least not easily available.
Well, keep in mind, this is also, like you said, the 1850s, where ketchup was a cure-all.
Well, yeah.
And masturbation cured hysteria. I mean, these people were not the smartest when it came to, any kind of health.
Like mental health?
Yeah, like, I mean, anything. Like, oh yeah, you know, you need a donkey kicking. Like, what are we talking about? Like, this is right near the advent of... The lobotomy.
I thought that came about later.
This is about when they started experimenting with it in the 1850s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
It didn't become a widely used thing until like the 1910s.
Yeah.
But
I know it had kind of a fashionable craze at some point.
But this is like, he could have been put in there for anything. Oh, you brought your horse into the house? You are obviously crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the criteria for men is usually different from women, but still, it's like,
well,
what did you do?
Criteria for men was often, back then, anger issues. That
well,
was
he clearly
a,
had
them. That was a very big criteria for, you need to be put in a mental institution. Like, I mean, look at the Kellogg story, the Wellsville Kellogg story.
Uh-huh.
Like, they threw people in there for having athlete's foot, and, like, I mean... like, gave people cold baths because they were complaining of migraines because they thought the demons were in their head. Like, I mean, mental health has only became a big thing as of the 1900s.
And even then, it took a little while before it was, you know, well done.
Yeah.
And then Reagan happened, and anyway.
But all I'm saying is they could have thrown him in there for anything.
Well, true. Well, he did befriend one of the guards there. Well, while he was in the asylum, he became very quiet and taciturn and befriended a guard and convinced the guard to take him on walks through the woods, you know, health walks. And after this became sort of routine, again, it doesn't explain what happened, but Helms was, quote, able to escape. So I presume he just left.
Walked away.
What he did to the guard, I'm not sure. I mean, I have my theories. So again, he's traveling west. He's really determined to get to California. And on the way, Helm murdered several men in various altercations.
Wow.
Because that's what he does. Periodically, he was forced to flee to avoid arrest and vigilante justice, which was definitely a thing at the time. He teamed up with a group of men to whom he confided that he had eaten all or part of his murder victims. Many's the poor devil I've killed at one time or another, and the time has been that I've been obliged to feed on some of them.
Donner, party of 50. Donner party over here.
An attack by Native Americans on the way to Fort Hall forced Helm and this party into the wilderness, like where they did not know where they were. They were short on provisions, so they, I'm sorry people, brace yourselves, they killed their own horses, ate them, and made snowshoes out of them.
Especially if a horse just died on the trail, they would eat them.
Well,
skin them and eat them, and I mean, yeah.
I don't know if they died of natural causes or not. The journey was arduous.
Apparently.
And it reduced the party to Helm and one other man named Burton. And Burton was pretty strong, but he too reached a point where he just could not go any further. So Helm left him, apparently in this cabin. And he went as far as he could, but, you know, again, out of food. Now, some sources say he just turned back, and others said he got to Fort Hall, and there was nothing there, so he came back. Either way, he came back, and he determined that Burton had just killed himself.
Like, just killed it.
Like, literally could hear the shot.
Wow.
Again, not sure how accurate that is, but so, inasmuch as Helm is loath to let anything go to waste, he ate one of Burton's legs, and he wrapped up the other one as a little to-go parcel and took it with him.
Taking this one for the road.
Ugh. Right? Now,
did you know that like 40% of your body weight is in your legs?
I did not know that. I am not surprised, however. I mean, they're basically, what, a couple of big bones and a lot of big muscles.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, like, you know, ligaments and
arteries
and stuff like that. But
I was just thinking of the things that tend to be heavy.
Yeah.
Heavier.
Yeah, it's all muscle. I mean,
yeah. Now, if you could only get the fluff to go away. So, Helm was doing this sort of death march on for himself. He was discovered by a man named John W. Powell at a, quote, Indian camp. I don't know if that's actually a Native American camp or something else, but that's what they phrased it as. Powell agreed to let Helm accompany him to Salt Lake City, Utah. And at the time, Helm had over $1,400, 1800 era.
Yeah, that's a lot of
money. In coins, which I can only imagine if you're walking
around.
That's
a lot to be carrying, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the coins are pretty substantial back then. But purportedly did not thank Powell or pay him. Though he didn't actually kill or eat Powell, so maybe, you know, that's his form of gratitude, if you will.
Wow. Well, you've been a good guy to me, so I won't kill you and eat you.
Great! That's a joke, right?
Thanks? You just kind of look at him and go, you are welcome. And just kind of walk away slowly.
So upon finally reaching San Francisco, Helm met a rancher that he had previously befriended and who had taken him in. And in Helm fashion, he then just murdered the rancher. Not sure why. I mean, it just didn't seem to occur to him that he doesn't have to do that to people.
Right.
He could just leave. Well, then he traveled to Oregon. And he supported himself by the profession of robbing people and usually murdering them just for good measure.
Well done, Wesley. Good work. I'll most likely kill you in the morning.
In 1862, after heavily drinking, though he was already known for that. Helm shot, gunned down a man, an unarmed man named Dutch Fred.
Wow.
Don't know if that's a name or kind of a moniker. In a saloon, and then he fled. He shot Fred, then he fled. While on the run, Helm ate another fugitive who had been accompanying him. I mean, I don't even know how many we're up to now.
This is, okay, this is borderlining ludicrous.
It's sort of like in Clue when they find like the third or fourth body.
And they're just like,
this is getting serious. Well, he was captured by the authorities somehow.
Yeah.
And Helm implored his brother, Old Tex, I mentioned this before.
Yep.
One of his 12 siblings,
Twelve siblings.
Yeah, so I guess that means there's 13 of them. Yikes. And with a considerable amount of money, don't know what happened to Helm's $1,400 in clanking coins, Old Tex paid off all the witnesses. So, unable to convict Helm, the authorities released him, and he accompanied his brother to Texas. He's just crisscrossing the country.
Well, also, I don't care if he's your brother or not. Look out. Dude might try to eat you.
Right. Helm soon reappeared at many of the settlements mentioned before, killing more people in the process because, you know, why not? He was apprehended in Montana. I guess he didn't stay apprehended because the narrative goes, he next met up with and joined the notorious Henry Plummer and his gang.
Now, that's a name that I know of.
Yeah, it seems familiar.
Yeah.
Were they involved with the Hart brothers?
I think so.
Because I'm like, that sounds familiar. Did I look at my old scripts? No, I did not.
I think that had something to do with, like, he was, like, the gentleman bandit or something.
Yes!
Something.
Henry Plummer, it says, might be considered an example of the gentleman desperado.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
A man of at least a certain amount of refinement, and certainly one who, under different surroundings, could have had a different life.
Oh, yeah.
He's sort of like the...
He was the one that...
The land version of Stede Bonnet.
Yeah, he was more, he was like Stede Bonnet, where he was kind of, he wasn't accustomed to that way of life.
Not exactly a rough guy.
Where Stede Bonnet, you know, had a wife and kids and just suddenly decided he was going to be a pirate one day.
Just, I feel like changing things in my life.
Yeah, and then ran into Blackbeard, and Blackbeard really didn't like him.
But...
Well, in the TV show, Blackbeard...
Our flag means death. Yes. They become, like, ineffable boyfriends.
But in real life, Blackbeard was... He's like, no, this guy's so fake. But though he did mourn him when Steve died, he's aww. Like, oh, you know, we something to the effect of our fallen brethren, the gentleman pirate has passed, you know, let us give a moment of silence. And then, like, 10 seconds later, he's like, now let's drink.
You know, a good pirate funeral, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, yep. Helm and four other of the gang members, I don't know how long he'd been with the group, but this is sort of just the, I think it's a different phrase
now. Abridged?
Yes, yes. So four other gang members were captured, arrested, and tried
in secret.
I don't know how
apparently.
You... And yet it was recorded for later. At the trial, Helm, quote, kissed the Bible... And then proceeded to perjure himself, you know, right strongly. Accusing three-fingered Jack Gallagher, who I'm pretty sure was in the Zorro movies.
Yep.
So he was like a historic person.
Yep.
And also Helm's close friend and fellow gang member. He basically pointed to Jack and said, nope, he did it.
Sure.
Which is funny because Helms never seems to have had a problem owning up to anything he did.
Yeah.
So the Montana vigilantes hanged Helm Gallagher and all the others in Virginia City, Montana, on January 14th in front of what is purported to be a very large crowd. Now, at the hanging, because this dude was sort of a badass from start to finish, he looked around at his friends, placed for death, lined up at the gallows, and told them, stop making such a fuss. There's no use being afraid to die. And indeed, there probably never lived a man more actually devoid of all sense of fear. Again, probably a sociopath.
Right.
He didn't seem to value the life of others, or even his own. He saw that the end had come and was kind of careless, I guess. He just did not seem to mind.
Yeah.
Now, it was noted he had one finger that was a, quote, sore finger in some fashion, which was tied up, and this seemed to trouble him more than anything else. It's always the little things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was some delay about the confession and the last offices for those who wanted to pray, blah, blah, blah. And this just seemed to irritate Helm.
Now I'm kind of envisioning like the whole James Franco thing about ready to be hanged, and the guy like walks up and gets it, and he's panicking, and James Franco's just like, first time, huh?
For God's sake, he says, if you're gonna hang me, I want you to do it and get through with it. If not, I want you to bandage up my finger for me. And at one point he actually says to his next door noose neighbor, give me that overcoat of yours, Jack, as Jack was losing it for the noose. But apparently Jack said, you're not gonna need it in a moment. Upon seeing his friend Gallagher hanged, Helm reportedly remarked, kick away, old fellow. My turn next, I'll be in hell with you in a minute.
Wow.
When the executioner finally approached Helm, he allegedly exclaimed, I'll mention in advance, this guy was a diehard Confederate.
Yeah.
Every man for his principles. Hurrah for Jeff Davis. Let her rip. And then jumped off the box.
Wow, so he was like, no, I'll do this myself.
Damn the port torpedoes, full speed ahead.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll do it live.
I guess he was just tired of waiting.
Yep.
He is buried in Boot Hill Cemetery in Virginia City.
Of course he is. Good Lord, I need to take you to Virginia City just so you can see Boot Hill.
Cool.
Yes. I mean, ridiculous amounts of famous Western people buried at Boot Hill.
And if not actually buried, then maybe some monuments.
Mentioned, yeah.
Especially the ones who got moved or were not sure where they are.
Yeah.
So, well, my dears, it seems that we have consumed another half hour or so of your life.
Yeah, 25 minutes.
Whetting your appetite for nibbles of the good and creepy.
Indeed.
We hope you're reasonably sated for now, and we'll find us next week for another heapin' helpin'. I'm not sure what we'll dish about then, but find out with us. You can find our online presence on social media and interact with us if you find yourself in a need of a small helping of spookiness.
Indeed.
In the meantime, I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
And we are
Southern Fried Spooky.
Until next week, bye,
y'all. Bye, y'all. No, I think I need to let everyone know that I had to change the email of the Patreon.
Oh.
So if they want to find us, they can find us at vileside1@gmail.com on Patreon. And that's V-I-L-E, the number 5, I-D-E, 1, at the number 1, at gmail.com. I kind of had to change the email.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's that.
Administrivial, thank you for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling kind of parched right now. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to eat my best friend.
Wait, that's me.
And bye, y'all.